Yeah, so hey everyone, I am Kevin, and is this thing working? I'm almost set up. Okay, there we go. So I work for Khan Academy. For those of you who are not familiar with us, we are a nonprofit, and our mission is to provide a free world-class education for anyone, anywhere. That's what we do. We have a bunch of software developers who are helping on that mission, in addition to lots of people producing videos and things like that. And we are hiring. I'll just mention that. I work on the web front end team, so we do lots of JavaScript. So today I'm here to talk to you about Aphrodite. I didn't have a hand in creating this, but there were people at Khan Academy who did create this. And basically, Aphrodite lets you put your styles into your JavaScript. So does anybody here put your styles in your JavaScript now? Is that like the way you work? Excellent. Anybody using Aphrodite to do that? No, not yet. All right. Well, we'll see you after this talk. So Aphrodite is pretty straightforward to use, but knowing why you'd want to use it, I think, is going to be a big topic for this. So I spent some time on that. So the modern form of this idea probably started with this talk by Christopher Shadow, who works at Facebook on the React team. He works on DevTools there. And he gave this talk actually about 2 years ago. Almost, and since that time, lots of people have been experimenting with like different ways to do CSS styling stuff in general in JavaScript. Lots of experiments. Steve Kaufman posted a link to this table. Somebody has produced a table of projects doing CSS in JavaScript, and there are a lot of them. Don't try to read that because it's very small, but there are a lot. And I happen to think that Aphrodite has struck a nice balance as far as the way it works. That you can do a lot without really having any compromises in how you do it. So getting back to Christopher Shadow's talk, basically he was talking about the problems that Facebook saw with CSS. Imagine Facebook and like all these different components that are all mingled together on one page, and the kinds of trouble you'd have. I know these kinds of problems, global namespace, dependencies, dead code elimination, minification, sharing constants, non-deterministic resolution, and isolation. These things, we face them in much smaller sites than Facebook. So you can imagine that at Facebook scale, it's just kind of crazy. And so before November 2014, the way we dealt with these problems tended to be less stylus and SAS. Like, we use CSS through processors to make our lives better. I think that since 2014, we've been thinking, is this the best way? And coming up with some other ideas. So Wikipedia has this to say about CSS. Cascading style sheets is a style sheet language for describing the presentation of a document in a markup language. I'll highlight that it's a document. So I think CSS makes sense, actually, from the perspective of what it's trying to do. You have a document, and then you're separating out the styles. It's good practice because it makes it easy to change the way you're presenting that document without having to change the document itself. So I don't know about you, but I know a lot of JavaScript developers are working on things that look more like this. This is our login form. That doesn't look like a document to me. Maybe we should just put our JavaScript, our styles in JavaScript, right? Because we're not really working on documents. And the kind of argument that comes against that is that people will say, separations of concerns, you must separate these things. And if it's good for documents, surely it must be good for user interfaces also, right? All right. Anyway, I will just speak over the popcorn, yeah. when React first came out, talking about separation of concerns here, when React first came out, many people, myself included, had a hard time with this thing, JSX, where you're sort of mixing what looks like HTML in with your JavaScript, and it just felt kind of wrong. It felt like we're losing some kind of separation that we had when we were using template languages. And some people still feel this way about JSX. But most of us have found out that, have just sort of decided over time that separating the markup from the rest of the component code really wasn't doing us anything in particular, any particular good. And I think most people using React today just use JSX, and it's not really a problem. So again, this sort of separation is valuable, right? Because we've got the the visual presentation of the document separated out. Another way to think about that is that we're separating the visual representation from the data, right? And another name for that is model and view. Like, we've been doing this stuff for a long time. We've been separating out model and view. And so this separation is valuable. Like, you still want your separation of this is the data and the way I manage my data, and this is the presentation part of that. So on the web, when you're dealing with the presentation of information, you have to build up a DOM and you have to have styles, otherwise you don't have a presentation, right? I mean, you have to have both those things in order to have a complete component in the React sense. Like, basically, using React and Aphrodite, you can put both the component and the DOM that you're building up along with the styles, and so that component can be in one file a nice representation of that view for that component. Yeah. Oh, this one is just, the font will be bigger on ones where the code actually matters. This is more just for the idea that we're putting it all in one file. It makes our lives better. And I'll in story form, like, this is actually something that I worked on a few months ago. Early this year, we had a math challenge called LearnStorm. And for LearnStorm, we created leaderboards. And so we had a site with the leaderboards on it. And we also, a feature that I was working on was that we wanted to be able to have on individual students' profile pages. So if you go to Khan Academy, each person can have a profile page. It shows, you know, kind of how many energy points they've earned and things like that. If they were participating in LearnStorm, and if they were on the leaderboard that week, we wanted to show their leaderboard entry on that profile page. And what was great is that since we were using Aphrodite for this, I just brought in the leaderboard entry component that some other developer wrote, and just dropped it right there in the profile page, and it looked perfect. It looked exactly like that, and I didn't have to change what CSS files were being included on that page or anything like that. All I had to do was just bring the component in, and it was complete and ready to run. So that's the idea: is that our concerns are actually still separated. We still do not put our data management and stuff into our components. Our components are still stateless and all of that. But even better, everything required for the component lives in one file, in one place. So it's easy, if something goes wrong, it's easy to know where to look. So with that bit of background, talk about Aphrodite and how you actually use it and what it's like. So the why, the why is the harder part. It's really, Aphrodite makes this straightforward. So it gives you this blend of feeling like, this feels like inline styling that you're doing in JavaScript. How many people have done that with React, where you just do inline styles the React way? Okay, yeah, still not very many. It's just like using the features of a style sheet, but at the same time, you've got the full power of an imperative programming language and some other features that Aphrodite sprinkles in there. And I'll note that it's not just React. So I'm going to be talking about examples in React, because it's what we use, but there's actually no tie to React for this. It's completely independent. And actually, Brian made a connector to Angular, which some people may get to play around with if you use Angular. One of the other things that people can play with also is with vanilla JavaScript. It just manages your styles. It doesn't care what manages your view otherwise. So Aphrodite has a tiny API that you use, you know, almost all the time, which is basically you just import style sheet and CSS. Those two names are all you need to import. And you know, there's the expression, the devil's in the details. I'll just say for Aphrodite, there are a few little details, but there aren't really many devils, because it's really, we'll see, it's very straightforward. So the first thing you do is you create a style sheet, object. And in this case, we're creating a style sheet with a class of red, and it's got a background color of red, and that's, you know, all it's defining. Very simple. We put these at the end of a JSX file. It's just the way we typically do it. So then in your React code, in your render, you're basically going to set, and to stress this is not inline styles, we're actually setting class name. So we are setting a class name of calling that CSS function. So we use the stylesheet.create, and then we're using the CSS function to actually give us the class name for that particular class, styles.red. And that's it. So when we've done that, it's going to set the styles for that particular node. So because this is using distress, it's not inline styles, it's actually creating style sheets. That means that we can use pseudo classes like hover, and we don't have to write JavaScript to do that. And you'll find that a lot of the other CSS and JavaScript solutions do use actual inline styles, and therefore hover has to be done with JavaScript. And stuff like visited, you can't do at all. So this is nice, and again, this like reduces some of the surprise of using this tool. And using that that hover style, like we have that as a separate style, it's very easy. You can just say style, see it called the CSS function with both styles.red and styles.hover, and it will merge the two together and give you a new class name for that. So it's very straightforward to use.
So what's the semantics of this? Is this only red when you're hovering?
Well, so this works just as if you had applied those two classes through normal CSS. Like if you had made a CSS class, one that's red and then another one that's hover, and you applied both those class names to this node, it works exactly like that. It's actually no different at all.
In the actual HTML that's generated, what is the class name assigned to the span? Is it like a symbol generated thing?
Good segue, because that's what's next. So just so there's no confusion, let's actually look at what Aphrodite is doing, because it's pretty straightforward again. So this is in the console here. I went ahead and created a style sheet object, and it's the same one that we were just looking at. And you can see the object that's returned has a red property on it. And in there, we've got that original definition is there as underscore definition. And then there's also an underscore name. And underscore name is red. It's called red underscore and then a hash, which doesn't really matter. But basically, that name is the class name that Aphrodite generated for it. And a useful thing to know about that is that hash is actually a stable hash for that particular definition, which means that I'll talk about server-side rendering in a minute, but basically that enables server-side rendering. So then when we call the CSS function, all it's doing is returning that underscore name, and so that is the actual class name that's going to get applied to the node, that red underscore and then a hash. And then once you call the CSS function, the other thing Aphrodite does is it's going to create the style tag in the head with a data Aphrodite attribute. And then you can see exactly, you know, the class name that was just defined and the actual definition of that style. So, I mean, it's pretty much doing exactly what you would expect it to do. There's really, again, no surprise to it. Okay, so talking about the server-side rendering case, this is actually a more or less complete example, you know, mostly complete example of server-side rendering. So it's not going to be very different. It's just going to be just a couple of tricks to basically make it work server-side. I should note, the reason that you do this server-side, in case people haven't sort of gone down the path of React server-side rendering, is that, you know, before HTTP 2 comes along, if you can put your CSS into the HTML that is delivered to the client, especially on mobile, you save a round trip to the server, and that makes a big difference on mobile. Like the speed of delivery is so much faster. And so the idea here is that we're going to bundle the CSS in with that actual HTML file that the user is getting, so that the initial CSS, so that so they get optimal performance, basically. So you import stylesheet server from Aphrodite when you're on the server side, and then you call the render static function on there, and then again this isn't tied to React, so you just pass in some function that's going to return the HTML, sort of the body or whatever. I guess it can be whatever form of HTML you want, because you're going to merge this stuff together yourself, and so that the render static is going to return both HTML and CSS. And then you add the style tag in whatever your output is. So you're going to create the style tag for Aphrodite to hook onto when it gets going on the client side. And you pass in the content, CSS.content there. So that's going to be your initial style sheet. And then you call stylesheet.rehydrate, and you pass in a JSON stringified version of the rendered class names from the CSS object. So basically, this is the sort of the key. Remember what I was saying about that hash and how style the class names have consistent names. And the reason that's important is because the server is going to render out that initial page, and when it does so, it's going to collect up all the CSS that was rendered as part of that. And when it does that, it's going to keep track of which class names it generated, and it's going to then pass that along to the client when you rehydrate. And that means that when Aphrodite comes along and starts running on the client, it's not going to try to regenerate those same styles. It knows, oh, they're already there. Like if you use that red class again, it's going to say, oh, I've already, that one is one of the ones that was rendered on the server. I don't need to generate it again. Yeah?
Does the red class have the same hash throughout the document?
Yes. Basically, it's based on that definition. So whatever the, so it was background color red was the full definition of that style. And so that is what the hash is based on. And so wherever you, as long as that style is called red, that you'll have that same class name throughout the cycle.
So maybe you said this, but I just maybe overstated the confirmation. So am I safe in assuming that once the client takes over and starts doing this, that it's using this hash essentially the same way that React uses key to decide where to insert things as well? Because it has to figure out, for example, once the client picks up whether that style element's already there, if you have some dynamic content. Because the dynamic content may trigger a call to CSS on the client, and it has to say, it has to know, you know, sort of, that it's there, and maybe it needs to pull it out or put it in. So it inserts and it removes stuff from the DOM based on that as well.
So Aphrodite, as far as I know, doesn't ever actually remove anything from the style sheet. But it does, but it only generates the ones that it needs to generate, and it does indeed use that list to make sure it doesn't generate it again, because it knows, okay, I've already got it up there. Yep.
Can you pass the class name hash to the JavaScript and manipulate it later?
I mean, I guess by calling the CSS function, you have the access to that name. That's not really, like, if you're working with React, that, like, my spidey sense is going off, but like this is not a React-y way of doing things. but if you're doing it in vanilla JavaScript or something, I can imagine. I don't know. I would think you'd probably still want, you probably want to just leave that as like an opaque value, and just like if you need to get a hold of that node later on, apply your own class name in addition. That way, Aphrodite can sort of do whatever it needs to do there, and you know, just consider it an implementation value implementation constraint.
One more question.
Yeah.
Also, this closure that you have with this arrow function, am I correct in understanding that what's going to happen there is that it needs to run that so that it sort of look, there's some sort of side effect here going on with the CSS function, so it has to do the render and then see what styles were essentially injected because of that render.
Yep.
And so it wants to bracket it to know before and after, essentially.
That's right. Yeah, right. Yep. Well, it's not so much a Reactism, it's that Aphrodite only generates styles when the CSS function is called, which typically you're only generating when you've actually sort of rendered out your UI. So it has to wait for it, so the CSS function has to get called sometime, and it's whenever when you're actually doing that first render. So that pretty much is whatever framework you're running on the server, it doesn't have to be React. You have to do the same thing.
I thought you were asking about that. That was great.
No, I was just wondering what the closure was about. I mean, you could pass a component in, for example. I was just trying to figure out, you know, I guess you're trying to give some flexibility there in what people are doing in terms of how the rendering is done.
Right, exactly. I mean, that could be asynchronous there, so I think that's why it's like that. So just as with pseudo classes, as you'd probably expect, you can do media queries because, again, it's just normal CSS, so media queries won't work pretty much exactly like you'd expect. One of the things, that, since we are generating this style sheet, we might as well do a little bit of useful stuff for you. So in the case of Flexbox, if you look at the example up top, you know, it's basically creating something that says display colon flex, and if you look at the generated code down below, it's generated basically the prefixes for all the browsers, the older browsers that might still be using prefixes. So so that's nice. I mean, that since we're generating the style sheet, might as well do that for you automatically. Now, those of you who have better vision than I do might have noticed that important appears on everything that it's generating. Now, the reason for that is that you might have existing code, and we want this to feel like inline styles. We want it to be easy to sort of integrate with an existing code base and have the stuff you're applying at this level take precedence. Now, if you know for a fact that specificity is not a problem for you, then you can actually import style sheet in CSS from Aphrodite/noimportant. And if you do that, then it's not going to add all those bang importants there. Because you know it's not necessary. So one more thing that Aphrodite does for you that's pretty nice is that when you're using a custom font, you need to include an at font-based declaration in your CSS. And you want to do that only once. And so what you can do with Aphrodite is you basically make an object, in this case called cool font, but this object is basically defining the font itself. So it gives it the source URL and all of that. And then basically whenever you're declaring a font family, you can just use that cool font. And font family can be an array, so you can drop cool font in there. And as once you've done that the first time, Aphrodite will then create the at font base for you automatically. And again, just that one time. So, you know, since this is JavaScript, namespacing is free with whatever module system you're using. You can share styles via normal module imports, and of course we have variables because it's a real programming language. Minification is something we already do to our JavaScript, so that's covered. So pretty much, you know, Aphrodite is really fixing the problems that Christopher Chedeau brought up in his talk, you know, which basically Facebook themselves in that talk, they were talking about using inline styles. So in this case, Aphrodite can fix those same problems, but without introducing new problems of its own, or not many, because it's actual generating style sheets, not inline styles. So again, because it's simple JS, this is an example from our code base of a component that is very configurable in terms of how it appears. It's a modal, and so it's very configurable, and basically all those configuration options are just passed in as props on the component, and it's each of those styles is basically conditionally applied based on what props you pass in. And anything that's falsy, Aphrodite will just ignore. So you can just do something really simple and concise like this to do a whole bunch of conditional styling. So one of the very few gotchas here is that in CSS, when you see content has to be quoted. And so you need to, in your JavaScript, sort of double quote it. You need to put quotes and then put quotes inside the quotes in order to make it so that when the CSS is generated, it will actually end up coming out as content colon quote and then your content. So that's one little thing you need to be aware of. And during the workshop thing, which I think we'll have some time for, yeah, you may find yourself needing to do this, so I just thought I'd call it out. There are other things in the README, but there's actually very little else to know about this. So I will say a few things about transitioning to Aphrodite, if you haven't done this kind of thing before. So I'd say it's an iterative process, just like transitioning to React. Like a lot of people who have an existing code base will just, you know, take one little part of their UI and move it over to React. Same sort of thing here. You just take one little part of your UI, you know, go component by component, or just new components. We've got a lot of code at Khan Academy, and so far our approach has been pretty much when we create a new component, we use Aphrodite, but we haven't done a whole lot of sort of retroactively Aphrodite-ifying stuff until we have a real need other than just Aphrodite. So yeah, that is really about all you need to know about Aphrodite.
Yeah. Question. Many times when I'm working on a project, usually I'm coding, and then there are the assignments to create the CSS and avoid new code. Do you face this problem? How do you face solving it?
That's a good question. So the question was, if you are working with designers who are the ones who typically do your CSS, how do you deal with that here? So our designers for the most part are giving us designs and not CSS, and we're making components that match those designs. If the designers were creating the CSS for us, I mean, we could still conceivably use this, that they hand us CSS that they're working via mockups, and we're using React or creating components. We can still take that CSS that they gave us and just convert it to work in here. I think that's, you know, that is a workflow question. But if you want the designers to sort of own it, I guess that's another thing too, is that conceivably designers, like if they already know how to do CSS, they could probably do this too. There sort of is. I will actually mention that. There is indeed something similar to something like that. Yeah.
Sort of related question. I mean, if you go to like Bootstrap's homepage, right? They have SAS or LESS or whatever it is they're using now. Files. And the thing that I'm trying to understand here is, in this case, if you have a uniform style that you want to apply, how do you? I mean, if I wanted to make a site and somehow leverage all the design intent that went into Bootstrap, but using Aphrodite, is it possible for the Bootstrap people to somehow create a bunch of modules that I can then just reference in my as these styles, or is it not possible at all?
So it would be possible for them to do that. I think one of the challenges there is that you can do things with Aphrodite that you can't do with Bootstrap, and I think the other aspect too is that you can if you're building Angular or building React components or whatever, you can fit Aphrodite, something like Aphrodite, into your workflow better. I think I think it's just sort of, I think it's solving in some ways a different problem. So I will say that there's nothing in Aphrodite that prevents you from continuing to use CSS. Like, you can use that as sort of a baseline, and then you can add additional styles on top of that using Aphrodite, because it's all just CSS in the end. So there's nothing that prevents you from using it that way, but it would be a big job for the Bootstrap people to try to support something like that.
Material design, right? All those design requirements.
So I could imagine, like, somebody has created a library, you linked that this morning, right? That was doing CSS grids, that kind of thing, as in React components with Aphrodite. There's certainly nothing that stops people from making libraries that they're JavaScript libraries, but they're serving the same purpose as Bootstrap. That would certainly make sense.
So sorry, I'll come from that perspective as well. So I looked at stuff, and there's the equivalent of Bootstrap or Foundation is what I found. But also I found that actually there's an that if you just want to, like, say normalize.css equivalent for I thought some people would actually just create a JavaScript module so that their individual CSS elements that they wanted to use could just inherit either just simply variables, but also maybe some other styles. And I don't know if there's other better approaches, but that's both those.
Yeah. It seems like you kind of have to start completely from scratch in terms of style with this. I mean, if you say you can't really start with a baseline, so you don't have this styling to control the color, am I missing something?
I think there's some orthogonal concerns when it comes to this type of thing, but if you're doing something like Bootstrap's already kind of come up with your styles for you. So you can, they're not mutually exclusive concepts. And so a lot of times you may apply a couple class names for Bootstrap, and then a couple class names using this to augment the system. So you can still use the class name that Bootstrap gives you. You kind of lose that componentization ability, but if you're dropping it in the same page that has Bootstrap, it will still work, because your component will still say, I use the button class, for example. You just button class, and then any extra styling you want to add. Kind of like you would do if you weren't using Aphrodite. You do the same thing. You use button class, and then you use your class. So Aphrodite would be kind of for your class.
Well, I guess our code base is also a pretty good example of this, because we have a lot of less files, and we've been basically, as we've been creating new things, We've been building up a library of shared styles, shared variables with our common colors, things like that in them. And eventually, as more and more of our site moves over, the less files will get smaller and smaller and eventually go away. So that's, I guess, just part of the iterative transition from one paradigm to the other.
Yeah. There's a working draft standard, I think it's called Scope CSS or CSS Scope.
Right.
Basically, it allows you, nobody's supporting it yet, I don't think. It allows you to put a style.
Chrome might support that.
Pardon?
Chrome might support that, because it's part of the web components stuff.
I think it's...
Scope styles.
I think it's, well, let me just ask the question. You put a style element, and then it applies to everything under the style's parent.
Right.
So it's not global anymore.
Right.
If that becomes adopted by the browsers, what impact would that have for Aphrodite, which is kind of acting like a polyfill against the future picture?
So how would scoped styles affect Aphrodite? I mean, conceivably... it seems plausible that you might want to use scope styles with React components, and that you could use Aphrodite to generate the styles that go in there, but I don't really know enough about that spec yet, and I'm not sure how far along the support is yet for it, so I would imagine that as things move forward, we will find other ways that we want to approach these things. Like, part of the reason why, like, the server-side rendering, part of the reason that the server-side rendering with it all glommed together in one HTML file is relevant is because we don't have HTTP2 everywhere yet. So as the standards mutate, like, we get new capabilities, and then some of our old capabilities, some of the old hacks that we had to work around the capabilities we had.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it was implemented, say, in a year's time, and you hopped on the Aphrodite train today, you just jump on back to scope styles?
Well, no, I don't think you jump back to scope styles, because I think there's still value in having your styles relative to that component live with the component in that one file. I still think that's actually valuable. And so even if you're generating scope styles, even if you're changing one of the mechanisms you're using, I think it's still beneficial that your styles are right there with your component. Yes. Yep. Yeah. So. So right now we've got a little bit of time, which is good. So we can play around with this. I'll just mention that the README and the Aphrodite repository has a couple more details, but they're not really critical for the most common uses. So we can get to using it. So I don't know how many. Lots of people have probably seen Todo MVC. It's become really popular at this point. It's one of the nice things about Todo MVC is that it's available with all kinds of JavaScript libraries, and it uses pretty much the same style sheets for all of them. And so what I was thinking was we can go ahead and take the CSS in here and convert bits and pieces over to Aphrodite and just see how it works, see how it feels. And so to make that easy, I set up three different flavors of Todo MVC with Aphrodite pre-installed and ready to go. So when you look at the index file, Aphrodite is there as a global on the page, so you can just, have at it right away. So there's React, Angular, and Vanilla flavors at those URLs. And then there's also this tool that will convert, it's called CSS to React, but it's basically just generally CSS to JavaScript. So you can basically copy and paste a block of CSS in there, and it'll give you JavaScript out that you can then copy and paste directly into your code, save you some manual rejiggering of things. And that's pretty much all you need, and I will leave that slide up so we can actually play around with it. Happy to take any more questions anybody might have.
Have you found any particular pain points or disadvantages towards Aphrodite so far? You said a lot of great things about it. I'm excited to try it out, but are there any gotchas
As like a heavy React user, not that I've seen. Like, this really is just all better than working with less. Wouldn't want to go back.
Is there a URL on Khan Academy you could look at the source and see this in action?
If you just go to khanacademy.org, I think it's in use on every page.
It is?
Yeah. I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, because we have, we're actually, so like our nav bar is server-side rendered React. So yeah, we are using AffordAD all over the place.
So just out of curiosity, you worked on this for a few months and it's all across your site now?
Well, it's not used everywhere. Like, I mean, so it exists on literally every page, but there are parts of the page that are still using our old LESS styles. So depending on, you know, which page you happen to hit.
Which module, but it's on like the header. So it's
every, but it's on the header, so it's on every page. Yeah. Yeah.
Like most code bases, there's still backbone code.
Yeah.
And there's React code, and there's React with Redux, and React with...
Older style Flux, yeah. Yeah.
Depending on the components, but there, each one is its own little thing. Backwards and stuff.
It's not in all export.
Yep. Any other questions?
When you're running it, do you run it with the important on
Probably. Given that we still have those less files around, we probably do.
To make sure.
I haven't checked, but I'm guessing we do. Alright. Cool. Makes sense.
It didn't trample. I was just like, oh, why is this important? Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm around. If you have any questions, if you want to play with this, you know, singly or in pairs, have at it.